Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's good to be with you. Thursday, 1 p.m. It's always Cliff Central, which means it's all, always Future CEOs, which means it's always a show about you on your journey, wanting to either fast track your career or grow and fast track the growth of your business. Kluby, it's good to be with you. You came in a little bit rushed, but that's the life of a future CEO,
absolute,
isn't it?
I love your work. That's a life of an entrepreneur. Time is never your own, but that's okay because we're fulfilling our dream and fulfilling our destiny. And what I love about our shows, well, my favorite segment are the startups, because you know what? We're always finding these innovative, creative businesses that ordinary people are just doing extraordinary things, and also empowering grassroots entrepreneurs and that journey.
You're only saying that because you've got some toys to play with in
it's
front
so
of you.
Cool.
Here,
it's so cool.
And that's unusual for us.
Yes.
But we'll get into that in just a moment.
You can find that picture on Twitter in a second.
You can. There is an interesting thing that has happened with our first guests today, though. So at the break, we're going to be talking to a family-owned business who now are branching out internationally. That's going to happen. That is coming at 1:30. But in this half hour, we're talking to a business which is quite young.
Yes.
But they've also been able to attract the attention of and become partners with a massive organization that everyone's going to know. What is that? Phoebe, drop it.
Uber SA.
And that's no small task, no small feat. Shall we get David to introduce himself? David, welcome to the studio. It's good to have you here.
Always the case of future CEOs.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me here.
So who are you? Very quickly, and why are you here with us today?
Well, I'm one of the founders of Hubble, and we wanted to put a product into market that would add value to riders' lives in Uber.
Yes.
That would enable them to enjoy the trip even more, let them know about things that are going on in and around town, you know, what's happening, a way to be entertained during the trip, and obviously, you know, to find out, you know, other sort of messages, catch up on the news and weather. And you've got a captive audience when you're in Uber. The only reason you get an Uber is you're at point A and you want to be at point B.
Yeah.
If we can give them something to entertain them, you know, a bit of advertising thrown as well, obviously we have to pay the bills. People will engage with that as long as it's interesting, entertaining, and relevant to their life.
But you didn't start Hubble on the basis of developing this product, did you? Or is it exclusively around this product?
It's exclusively around this product.
Okay, very, very interesting. Can you talk us through that journey? So you were sitting in a taxi somewhere, in an Uber, and suddenly you said, I've got a brainwave. Or how did it work?
Yeah, well, a couple of us had similar sort of experiences.
Okay.
And one of the questions you often ask people when you're in Uber, you know, where can I go out tonight? Which are the good restaurants? And a lot of Uber drivers were actually quite new to South Africa and didn't necessarily have this knowledge that, you know, some of the long-standing taxi drivers did have.
Mm.
And having seen this in other countries, similar sort of things, and met with my partner, we were actually looking at just, you know, financing some Uber vehicles at that time. And we thought this would be way more interesting, way more exciting, and add much more value to many more people in a much shorter space of time. And then we worked on the concept literally for a year before we even launched. And we always said it has to add value to the rider in the car. Mm. If it doesn't do that, then we're wasting our time here. And that was the reason actually for our success initially with Uber, because they said once we'd launched, because we did it originally with the Uber partners, the guys who own the cars in Cape Town, a trial of 100 cars there. And Uber contacted us and said, we want to see if the riders like this. And if they do, then we can, you know, talk further about collaborating with you. They did a survey with the riders and it came back overwhelmingly positive.
People are loving it.
Yeah, because we'd always thought we don't do anything if it doesn't add value to the rider. So that was always our motto. Our long-term goal was a year and a half. We thought maybe we'd be able to partner with Uber. They got hold of us within a week and, you know, they did the survey, and within 2 months we had signed our agreement. We've launched in more cars in Johannesburg now, and we've got a rollout plan for this year to grow quite quickly.
Mm. No, very, very nice. You know what I really appreciate about your journey is that you were part of the ecosystem already, and so you looked inside, and that's what I think I understand. You were a Uber partner.
Yes, I am.
And so you're part of the ecosystem. You found the opportunity there. You didn't look too far outside of your own sphere of influence or where you were actually performing. And that's what I really appreciate. Too many people, and Kluby, we've seen it a lot, they try something that's too far outside of their skill set or their range of knowledge. knowledge and understanding, this was quite close.
Yeah,
is that accurate?
Yeah, that is very true. And so we got a team together that had a diverse set of skills as the founding team. So myself, I've got a marketing and sales background. Justin's a CA by training. We had a very hot developer in charge of all this stuff on there,
you know,
as part of the team, and a guy who was very connected with brands and that as well. So, you know, between that and we always, I mean, some of my training, some of the big corporates I worked with previously in my life was always, you know, put the consumer at the heart of everything you do and you will win. And that was our philosophy with this as well.
Mm. So talking about the consumer, obviously you have to have like clean content basically on Hubble. I mean, because you just want to play it safe when it comes to what you're feeding people through the advertising, through the music, or just tell us a little bit more about that. Did Uber have something to say about where to draw the line?
They did, but we had already drawn the line there as well ourselves, because this has to be family friendly.
Yeah.
We said no to a lot of advertisers who sort you're on the other side of the line. It's not about making a quick buck.
Yeah.
It's about doing this sustainably for a long time. We would never put anything on there that would offend people in the cars, be offensive to Uber, obviously a direct competitor of them. We wouldn't put on there either.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's a joint partnership. It's got to work for all of us, and obviously always working for the rider in the car.
So often what we do is we try and find areas where there were mistakes that were made, but it seems like you guys have done a fair bit of research, maybe due diligence, all sorts of things pre-launch of a product. Just talk us through that journey. So you had this brainwave, this idea, then what?
Yeah, so we then went out and looked what other people around the world are doing. We spoke, we got some mentoring from some CEOs of companies overseas. Everyone likes to talk about their business. If you approach them and you're not seen as a competitor to them, they're more than happy to share their stories with you. We had to find software that would work in our South African environment with mountains and seas and those type of things all over the place. So our internet's not the fastest in the world. No one wants to sit and watch a video buffering before they can start watching it. So all our information had to be housed on the device. And yes, we did a long period of homework, but of course we made mistakes as well. You know, the first brackets we bought were no match for drunken revelers at 2 a.m. when they got into Uber and used it to leverage themselves up. But, you know,
that is hilarious.
And who would have seen that coming, actually?
Correct.
I think. I mean,
but obviously, the beauty as a startup and nimble, you know, you go out and you fix your mistakes and you make it better, and take a very strong person to try and break one of those now. So.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're holding it there. It's hefty now.
Yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted, trust you me. No, it's great. So tell us more about the partnership with Uber. Anything else you want, any of the complexities, or really what's made it a great partnership for so long?
Yeah, well, obviously.
Collaboration?
Yeah, it's about how do we make this better for both of us together. So it's, they will now have a standardized entertainment in their cars. There won't be 17 different people doing it. And making sure that, you know, together with them, with advertisers and people that have done promotions with Uber themselves, they can now do a promotion with Uber as well as have something on the screen for the customers as well. So it makes it a much better, much more oomph to the promotion itself. So there are quite a few of those collaborations in the pipeline, which you'll be seeing shortly.
It's almost cut and dried. It's nice and clean. There often are entrepreneurs that come into studio and it's a little bit more murky. This one's been worked out. Who did that? So is it the CA in your partner, or is it you that was able to get it as clean as it is?
Well, it's the combination of the CA and my partner and the MBA and marketing and degree and myself. But but let me tell you, we've been on that roller coaster ride that all CEOs go through. Some days we're on top of the world, and the next day is like, how are we going to keep this business surviving?
I know.
And then the next day, wow, this is the best thing since cream cheese.
I know.
And the beauty is that I've been to a lot of sales meeting and presenting to agencies and to brands and stuff like that, and I haven't heard a negative word once about it. Everyone sees what it is that we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it slightly differently to other mediums out there, and everyone says, wow, why didn't I think of this?
And for the drivers, is there entrepreneurship kind of journey or follow through or incentive for them?
Yeah, so the drivers are incentivized to put the screens in the car. The agreement with Uber now is that it goes to individual driver partners. So it's a guy who's driving and paying off his own car,
okay,
as opposed to the big partners who've got 50 or 20 or 100 cars and, you know, it's going into some guy's bank account. This then gives him another income stream. When he buys his next car, his credit rating's probably slightly better. We'll get a lower rate of interest on the car, and it's really helping him or her. And they then able able to look after the screens, and we haven't had any problems with them. You know, whereas in Cape Town when we started, we did some big partners and some of the individual guys. All our hassles were with drivers or the big partners because they kept changing. They weren't, you know, seeing the benefit of having this in their car. But the individual guys, as we did, once we partnered with Uber, it's been plain sailing.
I want us to pull back into some of the harder moments that you have experienced. You did mention the roller coaster. There is always a roller coaster. One or two low moments that you guys have experienced. Tell us a story or two. Give us some insight into this journey.
Yeah, I mean, we worked on this for a year without earning a salary, the two of us.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, I've run out of money now. What do I do? And you can see the finish line is literally right there. You've done 90% of the work. You're almost ready to launch. Obviously, you've got to go and get funding as well. Launching, you know, obviously you've got to launch at scale to be seen to be, you know, as big as you are, as big as you want to be. And it's great doing it with someone else because often you feel down and then the other guy has to pull you up.
Mm.
And sometimes he feels down and you need to pull him up. And you've both got to have the same mindset, the same agreement of where it is that you want to get to. And if you can do that, then yeah, you can get through, you know, most things. And yeah, there were times when we said, in another 2 weeks and we need to pull the plug. And miraculously something happened and we were able to carry on and get to where we are today. And I mean, yeah, the chat with Uber is, which other markets can you guys go into? So yeah, it's a very exciting place. I've worked on a lot of things before, nothing with as much variety, and every day is different on this. And, you know, you're dealing with your finances and dealing with marketers and, you know, dealing with Uber themselves and dealing with the driver partners and dealing with the guys who installed it for us. And there's just so much which is so different every single day.
It's an exciting journey.
Is Hubble in Uber X or?
It's in Uber X and Uber Black.
And
there's even a couple in Uber Van. So if you're going out partying tonight,
okay,
you might find one
party,
there.
Party, party, party. Okay, good. We have to celebrate the good times as an entrepreneur, you know?
No, I agree.
Yeah, it's been part of our, you know, we've celebrated the little milestones along the way. So, you know, make sure that you're having fun doing what you're doing. Yes, it's bloody hard work at times, and sometimes you're working 16-hour days and you're up at 4 in the morning to get on a plane to come to Joburg and those type of things. But that's the life of an entrepreneur. But you've got to celebrate, you know, every little milestone you pass along the way, and you're getting closer and closer to, you know, to what success finally looks like.
Let's talk about some of those milestones, though. So you obviously sat back and there was a plan that you guys had developed. Often plans are on course, but they're just not always on time. How have you guys been able to do that? Let's talk about some of the milestones. So your first milestone, once you had developed the concept, was what?
Well, we wanted to do, you launch in the car. So
okay.
Our launch was May, June, July, August, eventually it was September, and then we launched in September, obviously tying in with pre-selling the advertising to guys to know that you've got a sustainable business, you know, taking them on the journey with you. We had some great initial guys who came on board with us, and we thank them from the bottom of our hearts because we wouldn't have been able to do this without them. And you know, just making sure that you've got enough runway. You know, as an entrepreneur, that's always how much money is in the bank, how long can I go on until this takes off, until I've got enough revenue to cover all my costs going forward. And once you pass that stage, then you have a very big party.
Are you saying that you have been funded by pre-sales to get to launch?
Partially by pre-sales, and we did have some some investors as well.
Absolutely. But I love the idea that you are able to raise funds without proof of concept.
Well, we sold our.
How did you do it?
Well, we sold our first advertisers with a very fancy PowerPoint presentation and said,
okay,
this is what the system's going to look like. In effect, it looked a lot better at the end. But yeah, that was basically it. I mean, yeah, getting investment, often you've got to sell the sizzle. You know? And this business works for one word, and I thank them as well, and that's Uber. Uber's the wave, it's the future, it's what everyone's using. A lot of people, you know, didn't take this type of transport before and now using it all the time. You don't have to drink and drive anymore because you can get an Uber at the end of the night. It doesn't matter how drunk you are. You can still probably push that button on your phone and land up safely at home.
Quotation marks, Hubble is the startup that hooked the whale. I like that. I read that somewhere.
Yeah, that was, you know, it was our long-term goal to do that. Oh, that was one of the things that happened a lot quicker than we expected. Some things obviously have taken longer, you know, tying up, you know, some long-term advertising contracts. Oh, that takes time. But guys have seen the, you know, what the system can do, seen how we've actually put the rider in charge of deciding what they want to interact with. We're not forcing advertising on them. If they don't want it, they can even hit the sleep button and switch the screen off and not be disturbed either. We only want people who are interested in something to interact with that. And as a brand or something, that's the person you want to speak to. And you've got them for longer than you would in just about any other environment because they're in that car for 20 minutes. They can't make a cup of tea. They can't go to the loo. They're there. If they're interested in your brand and you've got great content for them, they're going to engage with it.
What are your plans for the future? So it's Joburg? Cape Town.
Cape Town and Joburg. Our plan is to launch a lot more screens this year in those two markets.
Yeah.
And yeah, the pressure is already on to move to another market internationally, possibly in other countries in Africa where we are, or obviously our first choice would be, you know, other markets where there's lots of advertising money to be spent.
How do you make that decision though? So often it's attractive to chase the money. Often it is exciting to be able to go after that bottom line that has a couple more zeros on it, perhaps even. But how do you make that decision to then move into another market, even especially, let me rather say it that way, because it's so recent and so new? I mean, there's temptation there, isn't there? But is it worth the squeeze? Is it worth doing?
Well, I mean, obviously, we want to grow as quickly as possible.
Sure.
And sometimes it's all about timing something correctly, whether you're a success or a failure. You could have done just as much work as the other person, and your timing was just wrong, and it's not going to work. Doesn't matter how hard you'd worked at it. So we believe we're on a wave at the moment. People are seeing how incredible it is. There's a push for us, obviously, to grow. So it needs to know, as we're looking at where we should go next, you know, what are the wins that we can have there? How easy is the chance of success? How willing are Uber wanting to do it in that market as well? You know, obviously, can we get the funding if you want to go to a country where the currency is a little bit stronger than it is here? So these are all the things that you play up, and you've got to decide how thinly do we want to spread ourselves now? And then how do we work out if we want to, you know, do a rapid expansion? What are the things we need to do? How do we go and do that? Can we look at case studies from other entrepreneurs, guys like Airbnb and things like that, Uber themselves? How did they get to, you know, 400 markets around the world in the space of a couple of years? So trying to understand what those guys did and, you know, keeping up to date, you know, reading what these guys do, being in touch with what other entrepreneurs are doing, you know, hopefully getting mentors who can help you as well, you know, to drive you to make those decisions correctly. And the beauty is there's no right or wrong answer. All you can do is make the best answer with the information you're given at a given time. And I know how much time we sat and we debated certain things, and then a month later they became totally irrelevant. You think, oh, there's 3 days of my life wasted.
So true.
But it's not.
Dave. Our future CEO's conversation, we're so passionate and three down, three, it just didn't work, and we just have to move on from that. So that's such an entrepreneurial kind of spiritual living.
Yeah, that is it. You've got to sit and you've got to, you know, use the information you've got, make the best decision based on the knowledge and, you know, the support that you're getting, and go with it at that time, and then know that 3 months down the line, or 3 weeks down the line, or sometimes 3 days down the line, it's going to change. And then you've got to go and adapt. If you set in your mindset it's going to be like this, well, then don't waste your time
being flexible.
Yeah, you've got to be able to you've got to know where you want to get to, but you've got to be able to change, you know, the route to get there is going to change.
Tell us a little bit more about being specific about your audience. I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, as Gareth said, we're all over the place. We want to be everything to everyone. So tell us how you actually made that differentiation, not only just to have a relationship with Uber, but about the customers who are in the Uber experience.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the Uber passenger, well, you have to have a smartphone to be in an Uber. Most of them still pay by credit card. So it's highlighting a specific passenger. And obviously we approach brands who would be interested in similar sort of passengers. And we've been asked to put these in guest houses and aeroplanes and things. And we're saying, we're doing it with Uber at this stage. That's all we're doing.
Oh, really?
So this is the path that we want to go. You know, once we've got that sorted and down the line and we're in, no, a good few countries, then maybe we'll look at other opportunities. But that is where we want to go.
I asked off air, and I was kind of just dismissed. Come on, Gary. Come on, you should know better. There's a focus here, yeah.
It's very easy to get sidetracked.
Tell us more, Dave.
Yeah, so is also now timing, when do we go to the next market? How much effort do we have to put in ensuring the growth in South Africa versus, you know, looking to the next thing? And it's, as I say, there's no right answer. It's trying to time that correctly, that we're pretty sure there's enough people now that have been trained in South Africa to keep driving this forward if we move on and look at doing it in another market. But making sure that we get that at the right time, because it takes time, energy, and effort. You've got to go and research those other markets. We've got to make sure we're putting the right product in, the right sort of pricing for that market, making sure there's a demand for it, checking the number of trips that the Uber guys do in those markets, just to make sure that the model is viable there as well, because obviously, you know, different markets are different. We're from South Africa. You know, we all grew up in Cape Town, Joburg, Durban, whatever. We know what's going on here, and that's quite easy. To go and do that for another market, it's going to take, you know, a different skill set, getting other people involved, you know, spending time there and doing that research properly.
So I want to just find out what kind of entrepreneur you are. And it comes in the form of this question. Are you building Hubble to to grow it for 15 years, or you're building it to exit after five?
Oh, I wish I knew the answer to that question.
It's a tough question to answer.
So, yeah, I mean, we want to grow it as quickly as possible because, obviously, you know, worrying about competitors coming in and those sort of things. Mm. But we believe, I mean, what's the future's driverless cars. Mm. Everyone's going to want to be entertained in the car. You don't have to look at the road anymore because that's no longer your responsibility. So, I mean, that's what we see the future being, and we would love to be providing entertainment in those cars in the future. That's the long-term play.
Mm, okay, very interesting. I like the fact that there is a long-term play. It's not just a case of in and out, quick, easy in and out. Libby?
Richard Branson, and I love, and I quoted it today, it's about sometimes having the ethos of screw it, let's just do it. You're taking a calculated risk, but without being reckless. Would that kind of define Hubble for us?
Yes, very much in that way. We always thought, like, well, everyone said to us, what if Uber don't want this or whatever? So, well, yeah, we'll do it with the Uber partners. They own the cars. You know, and we can do it with them if we have to. Obviously, it's way better doing it with
Uber.
We went and did this before we had any agreement with Uber whatsoever.
Final thoughts.
I think it is almost final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Let's go back.
Advice.
Exactly.
We love advice.
I think what we must do here is we must just you've had a long journey, so this is just one part of a long journey that has helped you develop and become the person that has created or co-founded Hubble. Mm. Go back in time to the younger you, the 20-year-old you, and knowing what you know now, give that 20-year-old you some advice on the journey that you've been on, but this Hubble journey that you're on at currently.
Yeah, so I mean, I started out, went to university, got a job in the corporate world. Do as many things as you can when you can at that stage. Don't just do your job. If you do your job, you know, that's 90% of people. But go out there and be the one willing to do something extra and to learn something extra. It might not help you in that job, but it might be what gets you your next job, or it might be something you remember when you launch your own business 20 years later.
I think that's the best one I've heard in a long time.
We haven't heard that ever.
I think that's the best advice.
Very nice.
That's the best reflection of going back. For me, my question is, David, I'm a startup. It's a good idea. I've got a little bit of funding. What would be my next step through your experience?
So make sure there's a demand for what you're doing. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter how hard you work or what you do. Make sure you've done your homework on the product, you know, seen the marketplace, understand that fully. Because, yeah, you can have a great thing, great ideas, lots of money, lots of other support and things like that. But if customers don't want what you've got to offer them, doesn't matter what you do.
Mm. Good, solid advice all around here. David Tates, co-founder of Hubble, thank you for being in studio with us. And we're excited to watch the growth and development over the next 3 months, 6 months, year, and then we'll see what happens when these driverless cars come in. Thank you for being in studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, guys.
All the best.
Up next, we are going to be talking to the CEO of a family-run business, Deli Spices. It's another interesting journey. We will catch you right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.